Today, our scripture passage comes out of the Gospel according to John. We'll be in John 15 and 16 this morning. Traditionally, on Pentecost, we read Acts 2, but as the lectionary would have it, we did that last year. I don't know if you can remember last year. I don't know if I can remember last year after all of the craziness, but we indeed studied Acts 2. So this year, we're going to look at John 15 and Jesus' promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we'll be in John 15, verses 26 through 27, and then John 15, 26 through 27, and then 16, 4 through 15. Now, if you can't remember that, much like I clearly cannot as well, you can follow along on the screen or simply close your eyes to hear the reading of God's word today. Jesus speaking, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning." Now, picking up in chapter 16. "But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember them, that I have told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. When the truth of the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the reading of God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. It was May 2019. A young seminary student found herself exhausted and frustrated. After countless hours of classes, after almost failing Greek and Hebrew, attending those late night study sessions, it seemed like she would never find a job in ministry. And then there came about a listing for a job that seemed to be in what she thought was the middle of nowhere. A place only that was only ever seen on geography exams, a haven for corn, and this place that loves the color red. And reluctantly, and maybe with not much to lose, her and her husband applied for the job laughing. They would never move to Nebraska, of all places. When I told the pastor of the church I was working at about First Baptist Lincoln, he looked me in the eye and he said, "You'll be moving to Lincoln in a couple months." I laughed it off. I told my dad about the job and he said, "You'll be moving in a couple months." I again laughed it off, shook it off, told them that I was grateful for their confidence in me, but I wouldn't make it past the next round. And as the rounds went on, as we continued talking, I felt like the Holy Spirit kept bringing those words back to me. At first, I thought it was a joke. At first, I thought it was just a way to make me tougher. But no, the words came back and back. And perhaps they were not what I wanted to hear in the moment because of my own doubts and nerves and reservations, but the Spirit had spoken to me through the gift of my church family, in my heart, in the private moments, when the Spirit would wake me up at night and remind me of this weird place, Lincoln, Nebraska. There are times when we hear things that we wish we wouldn't have, but the Holy Spirit makes sense of them. Have you heard something that you definitely did not want to hear? It could be the harsh honesty of a friend that tells you to just slow down, to calm down, that it's really not that big of a deal. It could be that little voice in your head that tells you that you've done enough to just accept what's going on, to move forward in grace. It could be the words of a boss that tell you that your time at this place of employment has come to an end, even after you knew for a while it wasn't working out. It can be the words of a doctor that tells you you're simply not as healthy as you once thought you were. Anyway, however you cut it or dice it, we hear things that we don't often want to hear. We hear them, and unfortunately, once we hear them, they cannot be unheard. Once we know what's going on, the commentary in our head can't really be silenced. Hearing it is one thing, but accepting it comes with a whole nother set of problems, if we even get there. The words make their way to your ear canals, and they seem to settle in your stomach for some weird reason, because I know they're not attached. And then they lodge themselves there. They fester, they weigh on you. Other times, when you hear something you don't want to hear, it comes as a wake-up call, a reminder of what God has called you to and called you to be. The Holy Spirit can speak to us like this, telling us something that we don't want to hear, good or bad, changing us, challenging us. The Holy Spirit can change your life, but what does it mean to live according to the work of the Spirit? Today, on the celebration of Pentecost, the disciples had heard something that they definitely did not want to hear. In hearing this, they were instructed and comforted by Jesus. Yet again, we find ourselves in the farewell discourse. Jesus is leaving the final instructions to his disciples before he is arrested, crucified, and ultimately resurrected. All of the Gospel of John has been leading up to this mysterious speech and the expectation that the Son of God would be glorified, and as Israel hoped, as a military leader, as a powerful king, and not by death on a cross. The feet of the disciples have been washed and dried. Judas has left the table, and now the heaviness looms over the group. Last week, we talked about Jesus' prayer for us in his final moments. And now we hear of the promise of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, the day in which we celebrate the gift and the arrival of the Holy Spirit on believers such as us. The Spirit of God that hovered over the waters during creation has been that pillar and flame in the desert, has been like that dove at the baptism. It's been the breath of life that's been breathed on us, and it's what Jesus speaks of in this passage. It's important to remember that we often think of Pentecost just as one day, right? It's just a fun celebration, or if you don't keep up with the church calendar, whatever. It's just another Sunday where I get to gather and hear about God and worship with my friends, but Pentecost is the accumulation of the last 50 days of Jesus' life and teachings. It's not to be separated from the work of Jesus. It's not this separate, ordinary event. No, it's a telling of the resurrection story again. It's a time of transformation. The Holy Spirit changes lives and helps us to live according to the Spirit, to bear fruit. Sitting among friends, Jesus says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf." The King James, as so many of you are fond of, translates advocate as comforter. Not like the one on your bed with a duvet, but a comforter to give you comfort and hope, like a parent or a loved one. The Common English says companion. The Message, which I know so many of you don't really like, also says friend. And all of these apply. The Greek for the word spirit here is paraclete, which is a fancy name for spirit. No definition is complete enough to encompass the overwhelming essence and role of the Holy Spirit, this person in the triune Godhead. The Holy Holy Spirit is often shrouded in mystery or put aside, often used for its female qualities in Greek and Hebrew. The Holy Spirit is an advocate, a friend, a comforter, and a companion. Even more translations call for the nature of the Paraclete being called a helper, a guide, an intercessor, a teacher, and an assistant. It is all of these pictures that we hold together without fully grasping the complexity or the breadth of the Spirit's work. And today, as we linger over the term advocate, think of courtroom imagery. It's an advocate that testifies on behalf of someone during a time of trial. They intercede to give witness to what has happened, to give an account of what went on. Jesus says that the advocate will testify and witness to Jesus' words, deeds, actions, and death. The work of the Spirit is to help us understand what Jesus' life, birth, death, and resurrection meant. The abundant grace and love shown for us on the cross is understood about by bringing in reconciliation through the gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. When we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. The Spirit was sent to dwell with us, not to leave us abandoned or alone, but to aid us. Gail O'Day comments, she reminds us that Jesus speaks these words about the Spirit during this final discourse, this farewell address, as an encouragement, a reminder that they will not be alone in their trials, and they can stand firm in what they believe about Jesus. We have the same encouragement that we have an intercessor that helps us live out our faith day in and day out. But the disciples, you see, they weren't ready to hear this message just yet. They didn't want to hear about Jesus perhaps going away, and maybe we find ourselves in the same situation. We're unable to grasp or buy into the belief that the Holy Spirit is near to us because we often don't listen or don't want to hear it. Jesus actually says that it's to our advantage that he goes away and that the Spirit comes, because the Spirit will help the believer to understand and interpret his actions on the cross. We hear the words of this passage, quoting, "To prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin because they don't believe in me, about righteousness because I'm going to the Father and you'll see me no longer, and about judgment because the ruler of this world has been condemned." To prove means to expose, to bring to light. The advocate helps us to understand what it means to live according to God's standards and suggests the role of accountability or even conviction. This is often what we really don't want to hear about the Spirit, but it's what we need to, what we need to be reminded about. Then, by abiding in Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit, we bear fruit of righteousness. Fruit we bear gives testimony to the truth of who Jesus is, our Lord, our Savior. The Spirit helps to testify who Jesus is and does in our lives, and what he does in our lives. You see, you don't need to have all the answers. You don't need to be able to point to each scripture individually. You can share about how Jesus has changed your life. You can share and talk about your faith with others. The Holy Spirit is faithful to give you the words, to help you give account to what you've witnessed, to what you've experienced. Be encouraged that you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't even have to have it highlighted or underlined or in different colors. The Spirit is advocating and interceding for us when we testify to what Jesus has done in our lives. And Pentecost is the very celebration of this gift of the Spirit. Sister Joanne says that the celebration is a shaft of light, having come to pierce the uncertainties of the seeking. We are living now with a torch in our hands, however dark the darkness. Even a match can light a dark hallway. So hold on to hope. Hope that the Holy Spirit is for us and with us. Liverpool Football Club, the Reds, have had the same anthem for their team since 1963, when a local Liverpool group, Jerry and the Peacemakers, re-recorded this single. You see, the song actually comes as a show tune from a musical, which I find kind of funny. In 1945, it's about a musical, and the main character's cousin sings this anthem to her to comfort her after the loss of her husband. The words come out solemn, but are very firm. The tune has even been sung by Johnny Cash, Frank Sinatra, Patti LaBelle, Olivia Newton-John, and Elvis Presley. What I think is so weird is, why would a football club sing this song in their stadium? Why would they put it on their coat of arms and chant it over and over again, post it on their Instagram, have their players put it in their bios? What makes this song so special? If you're like me, I think Sweet Caroline or We Are the Champions would suffice. But you see, on a preseason trip, one of the managers was gifted the recording of this singer, of this single by the lead singer, Jerry. The manager went on the bus trip and he listened to it and he came back and he said, "Jerry, son, I have given you a football team, but you have given us a song." Others report that the message of this anthem, this song of hope, has given the fans of Liverpool FC hope through very tough times on and off the field. But the anthem goes like this. It says, "When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high. Don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky. And the sweet silver song of a lark, walk on through the wind. Walk on through the rain. Through your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone." They say that this song is sung by the 40,000 people, by the crowd, a message of companionship, hope that reigns true throughout, echoing through Liverpool and through Anfield Stadium on game day, and even after a hard loss. The hum, the tune for us, is that we find the same sense of deep companionship and relationship with the Holy Spirit. The companion or advocate is the one who walks with you through life. The Greek refers to the paraclete as being called alongside you. Not just to you, but alongside you. And Jesus' words in verse 13 promise that the Spirit will guide us, really meaning to lead the way for us, or to lead in the way of Jesus. The companion leads us in the way of being like Jesus. The sorrow of the moment of this farewell discourse, the heartbreaking nature that Jesus isn't going to win like they thought he would, the sorrow is eclipsed by this Spirit, by the promise that we are not left out or forgotten, that we will never walk alone because the Spirit is with us. Jesus acknowledges that the disciples have sorrow in their hearts, much like many of us experience. Jesus acknowledges this intentionally. One commentator argues that he says this not because they're inquiring about his destination, but because in spite of knowing that Jesus is indeed going to the Father, they're dismayed about the future. They're concerned. And during Mental Health Awareness Month, we recognize that our own feelings trouble us at times. We live in a disorienting world, with threats of war, separation, a virus, new strands, racial unrest, systematic oppression, and imperfect relationships. With so much closing in on us with heavy hearts, we can't ignore it. News of children separated from their parents, news of children dying as countries rage against each other is not something that we're created to endure regularly. Videos of death, of murder, going viral is not normal, even though we've become numb to the videos and reminders of hate and death in this world. Perhaps the best way to deal with this is to be reminded that the companion, the Holy Spirit, is with you. The companion provides comfort for you, just like she did to the disciples who waited to fully understand what Jesus was going to do. Another step would be to seek out professional help and a counselor or therapist, because the Holy Spirit goes with you there. The Holy Spirit is present with you during your sessions, when you take your medicine, when you talk with a friend, when you acknowledge the fear and pain or anxiety that you have. The Spirit is with you because we cannot bear all these things alone. We're not created to endure alone. The Spirit goes with you. The Spirit is restless in her pursuit to comfort and teach us. The Apostle Paul was writing about love in the book of Corinthians, and he says it kind of clearly and dimly at the same time for us. He pins to the church at Corinth, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. And now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have fully been known. Now have faith, hope, and love. Abide in these three, and the greatest of these is love." Christ's love for us is seen through the gift and the abiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You are not alone. You'll never walk alone. No matter how far gone you feel today, no matter how frustrated you are when the Holy Spirit calls you out of your comfort zone, Jesus' actions on the cross, the promise and the gift of the Spirit's companionship, hold us. Pentecost is a mystery. The Holy Spirit can be baffling. The celebration of the Holy Spirit resting on us, the followers of Christ, is what we celebrate each day as we recognize the gift Jesus has given to us through the Father. All of these things that we talked about don't really tell us who the Holy Spirit is, right? It tells us what the Holy Spirit does. Maybe what you don't want to hear is we can't nail down or pinpoint the very essence of the Spirit. But is it not enough to know that the Holy Spirit comforts you, advocates for you, helps you, and goes with you? So as Jesus said, take heart. Have peace. Do not be afraid. The Spirit is all of these things for you and for me. What do you need now? Is it an advocate? Is it an intercessor? A helper, a comforter, a guide, or a companion? The Spirit finds you where you are. It can be in the stillness of your heart or in the chaos of your mind. The Spirit comes over you. It's the steady presence of the Creator in the breath that you take. It can be loud and ring in your ears until you finally pay attention because you're not retired. Or it can be in that still silence, filling you with transcending peace and hope despite the news reports. So maybe you've heard something that you didn't really want to hear, but the Spirit will help you and guide you. As Martin Brown wrote, "Come, Spirit, like rain, refresh, renew, revitalize. Come, Spirit, like fire, embolden, enlighten, enable. Come, Spirit, like a mighty wind, move, challenge, and kindle. Come, Spirit, like a wave, move, tear down, lift up. Come, Spirit, come, breath, draw us close, make song, bring intimacy. Come, Spirit, come, love, make one, make justice, make peace. Come, Spirit, come, kingdom, come, love. In the name of the triune God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.